This podcast is being recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri and Birrarung people. We'd like to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge that colonisation and genocide ongoing processes that continue to this day. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Welcome to Auspol Snack Pod, the lefty podcast where we bring you bite-sized chunks of Australian news and politics with a side of crispy memes. We're also the official podcast of the Auspol Shitposting Facebook group. So if you hear us talking about the group or the page or wondering what any of the memes we're talking about actually look like, you should come and join the group and chat to us there. I'm Zach Lesnack. I'm a mod of the Auspol Shitposting Facebook group.
And I'm Noon, a.k.a. I Know Funkenstein. I'm the admin and creator of the Auspol Facebook group, Auspol Shitposting Facebook group.
Thanks for joining me again, Noon.
No worries.
It's a pleasure.
And thanks all those listeners joining us as well. We really appreciate you tuning in.
Yeah. Cheers. So, Noon, what have we got for entrees this week?
Our entree is a delicious ScoMo and Danju sandwich.
That's fucking disgusting.
It is, yeah. They're both horrible people. Well, yeah, pretty horrible. Obviously, this is the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and the Premier of Victoria, Daniel Andrews. Apparently, they've been having a bit of a bromance lately, and there was an article in The Age about all the meals that they have together and about how Daniel Andrews didn't drink because ScoMo's doing Dry July.
That's true bipartisanship.
It is, yeah.
Refusing a beer. From a Labour politician refusing a beer.
It's true. Yeah.
To reach across the aisle.
So, specifically, I mean, we try to avoid some of the soap opera-iness of Australian politics on this show. And obviously that's sometimes hard because the whole thing is a fucking drama.
It's a woozle.
This has an actual news story attached to it, which is that there was a COAG meeting this week. So COAG is the Council of Australian Governments, which is all of the state government and territory governments and the federal government meeting together.
All of the funnest people in the country in one room.
Who all really want to yell at each other and not get anything done. Well, that's what it's usually like, because it's normally a high-profile opportunity for people of different parties to yell at each other.
You'd be like, y'all stop me from getting this done. But this week...
Well, this week, it's far away from the election for both the federal and state elections, so they kind of aren't in a short-term panic, need-votes mode, which meant that they maybe are actually going to get something done. And specifically, it's about recycling. So as you may know, there's a bit of a recycling crisis across the country, and especially in Victoria, and we're basically completely failing to deal with it. And so this COAG meeting had a few conclusions. The main one is that they're going to work towards a ban on exporting waste. And although I personally think a ban is kind of a silly approach, it is likely to mean that they're going to build a really extensive domestic recycling industry, which is a fucking genius idea that should have been done like literally 40 years ago.
Yeah. Like, better late than never. And like, if you're going to bipartisan about anything, I guess
recycling,
something environmental, like,
totally.
It could be worse. But, you know, fuck
I
those guys
still
anyway.
Don't want to eat this sandwich.
Yeah. Still don't eat this filthy sandwich that I've invented. Thanks, Noon. Now, there was something in First Nations news that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, totally. So last week we mentioned that Garma Festival is on and that we were kind of holding back before we reported on it. And so this is one of the stories that came out of Garma.
There's big scare quotes around report.
Yeah. Before we report on it. Yeah. Before we tell you about an article that we read about it. Yeah. So specifically this is about Dr. Yuna Pingnu, who's a Yolngu man from the land that Garma Festival is held on, up in the tip of what we call the Northern Territory. And he announced that he's going to be making a compensation claim over minerals extraction on the Gove Peninsula. And so this is pretty huge news. There was a test case earlier this year, I'm fairly sure, in which $2.5 million were awarded to for spiritual harm caused by disconnection to the land. And so this was a First Nations group who basically argued that a mine near Timber Creek in the Northern Territory had disconnected them from their culture and land. And so,
which we know is like causes real material damage to people's lives.
Absolutely. Not only on sort of a mental and spiritual level, but also like lack of access to food, lack of access to language and education, being taken away from their families, which is like never really stopped since the Solon generation. So this test case is exciting, and $2.5 million isn't a huge amount, but it's likely to lead to thousands more claims about this being made. And
nice.
So Dr. Yuna Pingnu, who is a really important guy, who's been a big activist in the Aboriginal community for decades and decades, is an important voice to announce that he's going to be making this claim. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that, and yeah, we're excited to see how that unfolds.
Yeah. Elsewhere in Indigenous news this week, we mentioned on the podcast before the Djapwurrung Embassy in so-called Victoria, a couple of hours west of Melbourne, or Naam as it's known, and where Vic Roads, the Victorian Roads Authority, is expanding a highway there and is disrupting the environment, and specifically a couple of very sacred trees to the local Indigenous Djapwurrung people. And they've just received notice from Vic Roads that construction on that highway expansion is going to begin within a fortnight. And so they're asking anybody in Victoria who is able to come to get on country and help them resist. So, yeah, if you've got the ability, get up there. And otherwise, check them out at dwembassy.com or Djapwurrung Embassy on Facebook, and see how else you might be able to help out.
And now it's time for
Shitpost of the Week.
So what's our shit post of the week this week, Zach?
This week we have an absolutely mint contribution from Alexander Papasavis on the Ozpol Shitposting Facebook group. Thanks, Papasavis. This is a work of art. So this is an extremely low-quality edit of a screen cap of an ABC Fact Check article. It's got a picture of Bob Catter on it.
And it was originally when Bob Catter said that every 3 months someone in North Queensland is torn apart by crocodiles, and that's why he didn't care about gays.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was partway through a quote, partway through a response on the same-sex marriage plebiscite when he...
Let a thousand blossoms bloom.
Let a thousand blossoms bloom.
Which but is a Mao quote.
I can't.
Which is weird.
I'm not thinking about it at all because I've got someone getting torn apart by crocodiles every 3 months. So this is a screen cap of that from, you know, when was that? 2 years ago? A year ago?
Something like that.
And it's been edited to read, fact check, is mine kids torn to pieces by 30 to 50 wild hogs every morning in my yard?
And ABC Fact Check has found that is wrong.
It's wrong. It's incorrect. Catter again coming with the bald-faced lies. So if you've been on the internet at all in the last week, you've probably been seeing at least 30 to 50 feral hogs entering my yard in 3 to 5 minutes memes, which is just one of these beautiful examples of the internet really coming together behind a joke and working hard to pump out every possible permutation of joke that could be invented around this. I've had All Star stuck in my head all week because someone tweeted, the feral hogs start coming and they don't start coming 3 to 5 minutes. Now my small kids are running.
That's pretty good, actually.
it's really good. But so if you don't know the context for this joke, it's from a tweet from a guy called Jason Isabel. I think he's an American country musician. He tweeted in the wake of the two shootings that happened in the States recently. Two more mass shootings. He tweeted, if you are on here arguing the definition of assault weapon today, you are part of the problem. You know what an assault weapon is, and you don't need to own one. Which, you know, okay.
Pretty,
yep,
right?
Yep. That's a take. And the response, the top response from someone called William McNabb is a legit question for rural Americans. How do I kill the 30 to 50 feral hogs that run into my yard within 3 to 5 minutes while my small kids play? We need assault weapons, Noon.
It's the only option.
How else am I going to kill these feral hogs?
Every single morning.
Every morning.
I think it's a testament to the ridiculousness of this tweet that even after having seen like 30 to 50 of these memes on my feed within 3 to 5 minutes of turning on my phone each morning, that this original tweet is still fucking
so
hilarious.
Good. It's a special tweet. And, thanks, Alexander, for taking this amazing US poll meme and applying it to Ozpol so that we can talk about it on this podcast.
Good one, Alex.
And I'd just like to point out that the like extremely low effort painting out of the original words from the headlines just
very much appreciated.
The icing on the shit post.
yeah. Good one, Alex.
Yeah,
we love it.
Fantastic work. Congratulations on your first shit post of the week. Please keep posting away. You never know what might happen next week. It could be you. And now it's time for our main course. What are we having this week, Noon?
We're having appealed banana, which is
possibly
the worst pun that we've made about our snacks on the show so far.
I would say not even close.
All right. So this is about the recent court case in the High Court where a woman named Michaela Bandry, who used to work for the Department of Immigration, which is now Border Force / Home Affairs, she was fired from her job for anonymously tweeting over 9,000 tweets basically about how shit the government and opposition were.
This happened back in 2012.
2012. Yeah, that's right.
Context.
That's when she was tweeting and got fired. And she took the case to, I think it was the appeals court, and was basically, was held that her dismissal was unfair and violated her implied constitutional right to free speech. And she was then taken to the High Court as an appeal against that, which has just been resolved in the last week or so. And the High Court basically decided that that infringement on that right doesn't matter at all. And so...
cool.
This is likely to mean that public servants are unable to make any comment at risk of being fired. That's the concern. And
it's already happened. And I'd point out as well that they've actually brought in a new code of conduct in 2017, I think it was, for the Australian Public Service, which is even more strict, even more draconian than the rules under which Ms. Banerjee was fired. Basically, the new things they brought in that were specifically around, for example, even liking Facebook posts
can constitute an endorsement.
Exactly.
And even if you post something and say, I disagree with this, it might not constitute enough of a clear disagreement.
Yep.
And they specifically mentioned that an angry emoji does not constitute adequate disavowal of a view.
And the other thing that I thought was really fucked up was a couple more
of this fucked up shit.
It's really awful. And sorry, I know I'm interrupting you, Nir, but I just want to get these last couple points out, which is that you could, if one of your friends comments on one of your posts and says something like that that your employer doesn't like, and you don't delete the post, like your friend's comment, that can constitute
an endorsement.
Yeah, that's you breaking the rules of the code of conduct. And also saying stuff in private emails is also...
Yep.
Like, yeah. So and if you're expressing your private personal opinions... Sorry, that's a lot of plosives. if you're expressing your... I'll go back from the microphone. If you're expressing your private personal opinions as a member of the public service in an email and somebody fucking screen caps it and sends it elsewhere, you are liable. So, like, you know, we've got a few friends that are public servants and, like...
Good luck.
I'm sorry, guys. Fucking watch yourselves.
Yeah. There's a bunch of really horrible stuff here, but there was an interesting take from a constitutional lawyer. Sorry, not constitutional lawyer. Gillian Triggs, who used to be the Human Rights Commissioner and was basically like turfed out by, I think it was Turnbull, for caring about human rights. And she
not part of her job.
Yeah. So she was on Radio National Drive this week, and... here's a clip from her dissing the High Court.
The thrust of your question is do we have a conservative court at the moment? And I think the answer is we do. And we certainly have a court that's providing, in my view, and I do so very respectfully, because as I've said, I respect the quality and the integrity of our courts, particularly the High Court. But nonetheless, it's been very disappointing in failing to give us judgments which... are a little bit more than these highly technical analyses that, to my view, almost completely miss the point, which is quite distressing.
Which is hilarious. I should very respectfully
all
think
due respect,
that they completely miss the point. Yeah. and look, I'm no lawyer. I read over the judgment from the High Court, and I thought I understood it, and I asked a lawyer about it, and they were like, "You have completely got this wrong." So I'm not going to try and give you a big legal brief, but basically, the short version is your constitutional implied right to freedom of speech is only a generic, like, society-wide right. So actual individuals don't have a right to free speech. It's only like Australia as a whole.
It's such a fucking galaxy brain position to take. Yeah. And I think this kind of gets at what Gillian Triggs is saying there when she's like, basically they've made this decision that is purely technical, is 100% trying to like interpret the law and the code of conduct in the most literal way possible, with it, so absolving themselves of the responsibility of having to make any kind
have
of
a
like
position about
exactly any kind of political or moral
matters.
Or ethical yeah. position yeah. on this, which you know I think we can agree is kind of a cowardly stance to take from the High Court.
Yep.
Yeah, so how's that feel? Not only have you been called out by
blast.
Gillian Triggs, the snack pot has now come down.
That, I mean, that's how you know you've really fucked up.
you put your foot in it now, High Court. This is a case that has potentially extremely far-reaching repercussions. So you've got, obviously, it's directly affecting everybody in the Australian public service, and as we mentioned, they're under even tighter restrictions now in terms of what they can and can't say. The most obvious next step for that is these rules trickling down to affect people in the state-level public service and local council public service, which encompasses about 2 million people, I think.
Yep.
So that's a huge percentage of Australia's population that are basically being told...
Excluded from the political process.
Exactly. And, you know, the way that it's being described is they have to be apolitical, they have to be impartial in their public lives. That's not exactly what they're saying. What they're saying is you can't be critical of the government and specifically the department for which you work.
And there's an interesting example of a tweet from 2012 where the anonymous account that was being tweeted by Ms. Banjery.
Which is at Laligal, by the way. That's Laegale if you want to give her a follow.
She tweeted something about how the department that she was working for was shit, and her boss, a man named Sandy Logan, tweeted back, "Give it a rest, Laligal. The department celebrates success, not mired in harping. If you have a policy frustration, take it where it will make a diff."
Oh, that's hella impartial.
It's so impartial.
Damn, that's so apolitical. So as long as you're like tweeting pro-department stuff
behind what's going on,
you don't have to be apolitical, you don't have to be impartial.
And
sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, I think it's pretty fucking transparently obvious that your like non-impartiality is important for getting a job, especially at the higher levels of the public service. If the Liberal Party's in power, they appoint people who they know agree with them. If the Labor Party's in power, the same thing. And so,
including on the fucking High Court, by the way.
Right, absolutely, which that interview with Gillian Triggs kind of goes into a bit more. But
shout out GT again.
Yeah, you're killing it. But, you know, the department heads and other important hiring officials, they're there because they're not impartial and because they agree with the government's, in this case, fucking reactionary bullshit. And it's just so ridiculous to pretend that the public service is impartial. Not to mention, and I do think there is like some kind of legitimate distinction here, but obviously the people in parliament aren't impartial. They're advocating for their own views, and to then expect that immediately
below them, everyone who's doing the stuff that they've instructed them to do is not only not going to have any, well, you know, you're allowed to have feelings about it. You're not allowed to express that shit in a fucking private email.
Unless you support it.
In which case, totally chill. We love that. Keep doing it. And yeah, I will point out that you mentioned before that Sandy Logan, who is the boss of Michaela Banerjee, tweeted back at her then anonymous account in support of the department. He was also the one who like ratted her out.
Yep.
Like he was like, I think these tweets might be coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The level of hypocrisy is kind of astounding, and I think it makes it clear that this is part of a broader pattern that we've discussed a little bit on previous weeks in the show, which is in general a much more authoritarian attitude to silencing dissent from within the government and from without. They're cracking down on protesters, they're cracking down on whistleblowers, they're cracking down on press freedom, and now they're cracking down on the public service.
Yep.
So
the only people who are allowed free speech are fucking Israel Folau and his brother. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how these two cases interact.
I think, look, it's really tempting to connect them. I've seen a lot of people drawing long bows in the media this week to try and compare them. But we're talking about very different stuff here.
Yep.
You know, I don't necessarily, I don't have a strong position on whether or not Folau should have been sacked.
Sure.
I think it's probably slightly hypocritical of me to say that,
yeah,
like, Banerjee shouldn't have been sacked and he should have. But, you know, he's fighting for his right to publicly shame, humiliate, and incite violence and hatred against people.
Yep.
Maybe he didn't literally cite violence, so maybe I'll walk that back slightly. But, you know, we're talking about people within government departments who are seeing up close how the political machine works. And if they're not allowed to tell us what's going on and give us their opinion on it, that's really fucking dangerous. We obviously need to have more transparency in government, not less. Okay, this is probably the end of my rant on that.
It was tempting to give the High Court the blurst take this week, but in fact, we have another one.
It was the best of
takes.
It was the blurst of
takes.
You stupid monkey!
So what's our blurst take this week, Zach?
So blurst take this week goes to The Big Issue, who have tweeted in response to a thread by Tanya Plibersek talking about jobs and support for homeless people. Someone has tweeted in response to her, who she started talking about The Big Issue, you know, selling magazines. Someone has tweeted in response to her, it would be better to simply give them the money.
That is, give the homeless people the money.
Yeah. The Big Issue is about one thing, forcing the poor and vulnerable to jump through hoops and humiliate themselves in order to earn even basic necessities. So The Big Issue themselves, the official account, have jumped in here and tweeted in response to this person. Every vendor who sells The Big Issue is choosing to work rather than take a handout. Vendors purchase magazines with their own money and sell them for a profit, earning their own income, essentially running their own business.
Holy... What?
Oh, it's Jeremy Poxon from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union tweeted back something along the lines of, it's fucked that I have to say this to The Big Issue,
but it's okay for homeless people to take fucking welfare?
Yeah. Phrasing it as, like, rather than take a handout. Like, holy shit. I mean, not to mention that presumably a lot of the people who are working for The Big Issue are also receiving welfare because they're
many of them
homeless and poor.
Are and receiving New Start. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I saw the figure going around that sometimes people selling The Big Issue are only making $14 a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it's true, they do buy the stock with their own money and sell them for a profit. And The Big Issue sells them that shit for a profit. Like, The Big Issue is making money from selling their magazines to the homeless people who then sell them.
Oh my God, it's so fucked when you put it that way.
Yeah, and there was some other stuff that sort of come out in this, like, Twitter storm about it, that they are also, like, they force people to buy begging licenses. I'm pretty sure the Big Issue buys these licenses sort of wholesale and then sells them on to their vendors at a markup.
Jesus
which
Christ.
Which is just absolutely
great. Which is another great example of capitalism being the perfect response to capitalism.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you've been forced into poverty and homelessness? How about start your own business? That'd be great. Uh-huh. We might take a little cut, a little taste just for ourselves. But we can still feel good about ourselves because, you know, we're helping the homeless. So, look, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to completely shit on them because I'm sure that they have actually helped a
Absolutely.
Number of people take control of their lives a little bit more.
And I do know people who work at The Big Issue in the, like, media end of things, doing interviews and, like, editing and stuff. And the person that I'm thinking of is, like, the biggest sweetie who cares about everyone, and that's why they work there. So, you know, I'm...
A lot of cool people work at shit places.
Whoever's on their social media... shouldn't be.
They really shouldn't be. And look, I think the broader, like, what they've done here is really showed the ass of the whole institution by putting out this shit take, and then everybody else has kind of jumped in to like pointed out all the other fucked up things, as you've just done, Noon, that The Big Issue does.
Yep.
So that was a bad take. Bad job, Big Issue. Now it's time for
You Fucked Up.
Let's make this one quick and snappy. Noon, yes. Yeah.
So this week, the people who fucked up are the Victorian Greens because they have a bunch of fucking TERFs.
Noon, what's a TERF?
A TERF is a trans-exclusionary radical feminist, also known as a FART or feminism-appropriating radical transphobe.
I heard that one before.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work for SWERFs, who are sex worker-exclusionary rad femmes. So these are... second wave feminists who think that trans people are lying rapists, basically. That's really not an exaggeration, unfortunately. Mm. And so specifically, I'm talking about Nina Valens, who is, I'm fairly sure she's a convener for the Greens, and she has a bunch of positions in the Victorian Greens that she's been elected to. So she's on the State Council and the Victorian Campaign Committee, and she's also in the membership branch, the membership officer of the Yarra branch, which is where... noted sex worker hater Kathleen Moulton has been running.
Now, I don't know if these... she's the spokeswoman. She's acting as a spokeswoman for the Victorian Women's Guild. So she's not... These aren't official... statements. She's not making them in the capacity as a Greens convener.
Yeah.
But she is part of the Victorian Greens, who have a long history of endorsing and supporting transphobes.
So these statements that she's made on behalf of the Victorian Women's Guild are about the state, the Victorian government's amendment to the Births, Deaths and Marriages Bill. And so this will allow trans people to change the sex on their birth certificate without having surgery or like other types of medical transition.
Yeah.
And everyone's getting fucking, well, not everyone, these fucking transphobes are getting worked up in a tizzy over it because they can't stop thinking about strangers' genitals. And look, when was the last fucking time you checked your birth certificate or showed it to anyone or used it for anything?
But I tell you, I'd probably think about it all the time if it had the wrong fucking gender on there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But so it,
but like for it, these people, like it, let, it my own trans birth certificate, let alone anyone else's fucking birth certificate. And like, I don't want to think about my own genitals, let alone someone else's genitals.
Yeah.
Fucking just, I don't know. These people's obsession with genitals and pubic hair and fucking waxed balls. Yep. Check out hashtag waxed balls, by the way.
Yeah, it's been blown up on Twitter.
Eat shit, Lyle.
Nina Valens just being a loud transphobe, and the Victorian Greens absolutely should do something about this. She has been voted into these positions of power inside the party, and she should be voted the fuck out. She is directly and loudly contradicting Greens policy. She should not be allowed to stay in the Greens.
Fucking preach, Noon.
Yeah, get her out. You fucked up, Victorian Greens.
You fucked up. And also, get rid of all the other transphobes that associate with her, including Kathleen Maltzen.
And the SWERFs as well. Just...
As someone pointed out on the Oz Bullshit Posting Facebook group, it is like someone was like, Nina Valens, isn't she a SWERF? And it's like, well, it's completely unsurprising that she's also a TERF.
Yeah.
It's like a number of these so-called feminists, self-identified feminists. Well, okay, maybe that's not fair. Someone else pointed out on the page, there's been some good discussion about it. You should join the group if you want to join the discussion. Someone basically being like, can we stop calling these people feminists because they don't stand for what they stand for? And someone else pointing out, no, this is a problem with feminism that we actually need to solve.
It is feminism. It's shitty feminism.
Yeah. And so, but my point being that it is, you know, it's, if they want to reduce, they want to restrict the agency of some women in some cases, and the fact that they're denying other women the fact that they're women at all makes complete sense. TERFs and SWERFs, very good bedfellows.
Naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, sorry, I extended that longer than it needed to be. Victorian Greens, you fucked up. Do something about these TERFs in your midst.
Cool, and I think that wraps us up for the week, Zach. We have a few little housekeeping things to finish up with. We got some really lovely reviews on iTunes this week, and we got a bunch of ratings as well, and we really appreciate that. It's so nice to get feedback from all of you, and all of the feedback's been super sweet, and it's just amazing. So
yeah,
thank
we,
you so
we
much.
Really appreciate it, and like we're obviously, you know, doing our darndest to kind of get this whole podcast off the ground, and it's been so nice to have our personal communities come around
100%
us and be so kind of sweet. And we're just going to shout out the people who've given us reviews on iTunes this week. Thank you, Colonel Shameless. Thank you, Fergberg. Thank you, Volnair. Thank you, Rory Tarantula. Thank you, Isaher, who gave us 10 out of 5 stars. Thank you, Ozpol listener, and thank you to Nathan Combinez, who wrote my personal favorite review. Noon, do you want to read that one out?
So this is from Nathan, 5 stars. This is a news/politics podcast hosted by two young, thoughtful, and most importantly, memeful hosts.
We are young.
If you don't keep up with the news, this is a great way to get some, and if you do, you'll surely enjoy the analysis and entertaining spin that this podcast delivers.
Nathan, you're too kind.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you very much. And look, if you're enjoying the podcast and you haven't rated and reviewed yet on iTunes, which I think is maybe the only place that you can rate and review podcasts, really, it'd really help us out. We're trying to kind of, you know, expand and find new people to listen to the show.
And if you have someone that you know who is interested in Ozpol or has a lot of hot takes on things, maybe send them a link to this episode and give them a listen.
Yeah, and also send us in your rants. We didn't get a potluck this week, but we love it when people send in a little bit of audio. If you want to record yourself doing something political, if it's musical, if it's ranting, whatever.
And any public servants out there listening, we can anonymize you by not giving your name, or we can like...
I can do some little pitch shifty effects on...
So if you want to like hear
my
yourself
audio editing
as Deep Throat, yeah.
Yeah, we'll happily do that for you. And the other little bit of news is that we're on Twitter now. We are tweeting at OzPolSnackPod.
Yeah, get on there. If you are interested in some communist propaganda in like 140 characters or less, it's 280 now.
It's 280.
Yeah. So that's like a good chunk of propaganda. I've been tweeting a lot there, and I'm a little looser there than I am on the mic.
Been getting fucking stuck in on Twitter. I gave him the account like 3 days ago. He's like tripled the follower account, got us retweeted by Philip Adams.
Who, if you're listening, thanks, Philip. You're
Great.
Thanks,
Phil.
Yeah.
I've never listened to your show, but Noon tells me that it's great.
I'm on that shit every week. Yeah.
Please follow us on Twitter. And that's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had fun. I had fun. Thank you, Noon.
You're welcome.
It's always lovely to hang out with you and spend the time.
It's great.
Keep on snacking in the free world.
Crunch, crunch.